will be held remotely and open to the public by the instructions listed on the agenda. So we can start off with our Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag
of the United States of America.
To the Republic for which it stands.
One nation under God. Visible.
Liberty
and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is now called to order. In line with the Borough of Seabright's long-standing policy of open government and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting was sent to the Asbury Park Press and other local newspapers on January 6, 2020. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Roll call. Council members Birdsall?
Here.
Catalano?
Here.
Diller?
Present.
Lexine?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Schwartz?
Here.
And Mary Kelly's here. So just a few quick comments before we go into this. Just to give you a little pre-Memorial Day update on how Borough's doing. Some minor updates. First off, the seasonal paid parking has been in effect for the past week, and it'll be in effect until mid-September. Our beach manager has posted the 2020 beach operations plan. It's on the website, so it's a pretty good overview of how the beach is going to operate for the foreseeable future. So please go to the Borough website to check that out. Residential parking passes are available at the Borough Hall. And the beach, of course, will be open this weekend. There'll be some parking restrictions as a precaution, but essentially, they'll just follow the guidance, signage, social distancing and so forth. Be safe if you do go out in public or to the beach. But aside from that, we are open as usual. And if anyone, we post quite a few updates on the Borough website. So this is a reminder, a good source is seabrightnj.org. Just go to that for updates regarding municipal functions, the beach operations, and of course, COVID. So please be safe going into Memorial Day weekend. First up, we'll have remarks from the audience. If there's anybody on the phone who'd like to be heard, just state your name and address, and you have up to 3 minutes to address the governing body. So would anybody like to be heard? All right, hearing no one, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda?
I'll make that motion, Mayor. Mark,
I just had a question, Mayor, about number 116.
Okay, Jack.
Just the grant for the bikeways. Do we have to move on that tonight, or could we? I think we have to do a lot of talking among ourselves before we actually go to an engineer, just to get some consensus about where we want to go with this bike path safety.
Hey, Joe, do you want to speak to that? Do you think it's a good idea to should we pull it, or do you have any comments on that?
You're on mute. No, you're muted.
There's a deadline on that at July 1st. I don't think we should move. We should slow it down.
I agree with John. I don't see why we would slow it down, Jack. We talked about it at the workshop. We all agreed we wanted to move forward with the grant. Is there something specific that you're concerned about? You can talk to Bill White about it, but I think we can move forward at least authorizing it. Our next meeting is not till 16.
The only thing I want to offer is I don't know if in their price is the traffic study that is necessary for the grant. They just gave us the price today, Chris. I believe we got it from Mazur.
$3,200.
Say whether the traffic study was part of that, and I'd like to just confirm that. I don't know how you can tentatively approve a resolution, but I'm hopeful that the traffic study is part of that proposal number that they gave us for the grant application. I just don't know that. We just got it today.
Yeah, what was that number?
30, the
$100 to prepare the grant.
But $3,200.
If the traffic is a part of that, I'm very comfortable with it. But we just got it today. I don't know if I want an additional, how much that expense is. Now, this is for the, I believe, six pedestrian crossings.
And also bike lanes, but I hope they're including that. Are they doing a bike lane study too?
That was the whole thing.
Or is it just me?
Okay. Kevin's breaking up.
Yeah, it's time that you stuff your mask on.
You're saying.
All right.
If I may speak, I had the opportunity to look at the striping plan that the NJDOT proposed. There is a bike lane downtown in each direction, and that is part of the striping plan for the DOT that's supposed to happen in 2021. So Mazur does not have to deal with that. The DOT has already delineated bike lanes in each direction. So this grant would be for the six flashing lights, for lack of a better term, and they need a traffic study in order to apply for that grant for the flashing lights, but it isn't clear in their proposal whether that $3,200 includes the traffic study. That's all I'm saying. I'd like to know that, and then I think I would make a recommendation to the mayor and council.
So, Joe, right now there are two different resolutions. There's 116 and it's just 116, right? Or are we talking about both? Joe, you're muted again.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
So there are two resolutions. There's 116 and there's one for 117. They're two different resolutions, it looks like. There's two different grant applications. There's a municipal aid grant application for bikeway and walkway improvements, and then there's a NJDOT local aid grant application for roadway improvements.
Okay,
we're only talking about 116, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chris says yes.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so the only price we received is how much?
We received both prices. One is for $3,500 for the Transportation Trust Fund roadway improvement, and
That's
the other is for the pedestrian crosswalks for $3,200, Chris?
Yes, and that's for 116. Resolution 116.
That's 116. Right. So, and then how much for the traffic study?
Well, Joe,
I don't know. That's what my concern is. If the traffic study is in 116, I think we're okay. If it's not, I'd like to know that, and I have not. We just got it today, so I don't know the answer from Bill.
All right. So I guess what we need to do is. Sorry, guys, but I guess what we need to do is then, Jack is right, pull 116, find out, and then if we have to have an emergency meeting, we have an emergency meeting, because we have to approve this well before June 23rd.
That's correct.
Can I make a suggestion, Mark?
Go ahead.
Why don't you approve it subject to the condition that it incorporates, it includes the traffic study. That way, if it does, you don't have to have a special meeting.
That works.
All right, that's why we pay Roger the big bucks.
Yeah.
Jack, are you okay with that?
Yeah, if that's the condition, yeah.
And thanks for pointing that out, Jack, too.
I would make a motion to approve an agenda with a caveat that resolution 116-2020 is amended, that is conditioned upon it having included the traffic study.
Okay, who would like to second that?
I'll second that. It's Kevin. I just had one. My one thing was that regarding the bike lanes. I mean, I know they're covering the bike lanes with the restriping kit in a couple years, the restriping set and the repaving in a couple years. But you know, the areas that aren't covered by that repaving project, that's the areas that I would like to see. You know, this you know, a study done regarding where to put bike lanes are best options. That type of thing, and if we can handle that, if this grant can cover that, which it's supposed to be geared to be able to do, I'd like to include that in there. But you know, if it's an extra cost, then it's something that we'd have to discuss.
Where are you talking about, Kev?
I'm talking north, you know, North Beach, and you know, the across the Rumson Bridge, and I mean, the Rumson Bridge will be covered when we do the repair on the Rumson Bridge, but. You know, then the south end, marking the proper bike lanes on the south side of town, that sort of thing. Because, you know, Joe's saying it's covering the downtown area, bike lanes in the downtown area, but does that cover from 7-Eleven south, and does that cover from the bridge north? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask. And what's our options if that isn't included in the repaving project?
What I see, Kevin, in the DOT restriping is Sharrows north of the Rumson Bridge, which are just sharing lanes. Charlie, you're more familiar with that than I am. It's just Sharrows. It says bikes can be in the right of way. So there are no bike lanes technically north of the bridge.
Yeah, there's really no room to do bike lanes in North Beach. And I don't know how they would do something like this grant, without a traffic study. I mean, how, you have to have a traffic study. I mean, I know we're wondering if there is one included, but how would they do anything without a traffic study?
Charlie, one of the other things too, with regards to the north end, is I mean, I realize we can't put, you know, designated bike lanes on the north side of town, but we could at least put some kind of signage up, you know, to inform, you know, drivers that they do need to share the road. Because right now we don't have any signage that they need to share the road with bikes. There's nothing up there that indicates that, hey, you know, you know, bikes have the right of way. There is nothing up that end that indicates that to drivers.
Well, let's keep in mind that the whole point of the splash pad easement, one of many reasons, was to allow for bikes to ride along the splash pad. So that's something that maybe the signage may have to do, is direct bikes to the splash pad. I mean, Charlie, I don't know. I don't ride the bikes. You do. I mean, I see people on bikes on the splash pad. I assume they do use it.
Yeah, well, Mark, to that point, though, I mean, that there has been concerns where Jack has brought up, where, you know, folks on the splash lands are using the splash pad for the bicycles, but then there have been issues where, you know, who's got the right of way, the pedestrians or the bicycles? And we've had concerns there where, you know, pedestrians are at risk of getting hit by bicyclists up on the north end on the splash pad. So that's another thing. I mean, if we are going to designate the splash pad for bike lane, and you know, a designated bike lane, then it has to be clearly marked so that folks know that if you're in that lane and you're walking, you're at risk, or vice versa. So you know, that's something we have to consider ourselves with, and that's where this study would come in helpful, and this grant to fund that study would come in helpful. To tell us what our options are in that regard, what our best options are to cover something, some kind of signage or a designated lane on the splash pad or something on the north end of town.
Yeah, no, I
agree, Kevin. I agree.
All right, so someone, the motion was seconded by Kevin, so.
Right. All right, so, Council members, Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Giller?
Yes.
Lexine?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
All right, that is approved. On to individual action resolutions. We have number 99-2020, which okay. are going to be
We didn't pass the rest of the consent agenda.
We just
focused on
that. Jack, my motion was to approve the entire consent agenda.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, we have one caveat.
I'm sorry. That's good.
Sorry. All right, so are we going to carry 99-2020 again?
Yeah, so, Mayor, I've been speaking. I spoke tonight with the planning board attorney, Carrie Higgins. It sounds like we are going to have an actual planning board meeting with applications on June 9th. Now, after that, we are going to potentially have a second planning board meeting in June on the 23rd if everything goes well on the 9th. Our next council meeting, I said the 23rd before, it's actually the 16th. So I'm asking that we please carry the resolution one more time to June 16th, assuming that everything goes well on the 9th, we can then talk to the developer and make sure they're good for the 23rd, and we can probably then adopt the resolution on the 16th for the planning board to hear it on the 23rd if all goes well. I'll make that motion to carry that resolution to the June 16th council meeting.
Anyone like to second that?
No.
Second.
Anyone like to vote? Anyone like to second that?
Yes,
Jack just did.
Oh, Jack. Okay. Council members Birdsall.
Yes.
Catalano.
Yes.
Giller.
Yes.
Lexine.
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
No.
Okay, this resolution...
All right, John!
At least you're consistent. All right, so carried. Motion's carried. The resolution's carried. On to individual action and vouchers. There are vouchers in the amount of $280,857 listed. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the voucher list?
Can I point out something on there? There's $95,000 for the fire department, our wonderful fire department.
John, I believe that's for those radios. Joe, correct me if I'm wrong.
They're out there.
Yes.
Is that for the radios, the $95,000 for the fire department?
To Sunny Communications?
No. There's $73,000 for the radios, $17,000 for the leather seats.
Yeah, but those seats were FEMA paid for, the furniture.
What is that?
All right, so has anyone made a motion to approve the voucher list?
Make a motion to approve it.
All right, second anybody?
I'll second.
All right, council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Lexine?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
Yes.
Okay, it's been approved. All right, on to mayor and council committee comments. So anyone on the governing body, if you want to speak in particular to any of the committees you oversee, feel free to make any comments right now. Just announce who you are. If you want to comment, just mention your name first, please.
Yeah, Kevin, I just
want to
say thank you. Sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
Just on the court, I had a conversation with Carol Smith, and they have, and she was very happy about this, the borough of Rumson has agreed to allow the Seabright Court to hold sessions there in Rumson because Shrewsbury has shut their court facility down completely. And they had a meeting last night when they're going to have another one on June 10th. The one on June 10th will be more of a formal meeting. The one last night was just to handle plea bargains and such like that. But she's very pleased because they're now being able to move. their backed up agenda, their court caseload. So the reason that Rumson was accommodating of us is that we have the same judge. Nicole is judge in Seabright and Rumson. So we're, for the next several meetings, we'll be using the Rumson courtroom. That's all I have on
good
that.
Good job.
Great, thanks, Jack. That's very good news.
Yeah, we're really going to need that coming up.
Yes. Oh, listen, one other thing. She did say this. The state has imposed a fee on motor vehicle summonses, licenses, anything to do with motor vehicles, tickets. A dollar fee goes to the state. So she said, you may want to increase your fees $1 if you're concerned about keeping your revenues anywhere where they were, because now every ticket, everything, $1 goes to the state. So that was another thing she mentioned.
I agree. We should increase them a little bit. There's people that will park
state
in the parking and just pay the parking ticket.
State's stealing more of our money.
They're just boring. But anyway, we can work on that, but I'll just give you that as a little info.
All right, Jack, thanks again. Anyone else want to comment on the committees?
I just want to give a big round of applause to the Beach Patrol and the Beach Crew and the Beach Committee and the DPW and all that for getting everything ready for this weekend, despite all of the crap that we've been going through. So, just good job to the crew.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to comment on same thing pretty much what Kevin said. The DPW, Sean, has been amazing. Things that he's just doing on his own that I feel have never been done before in this town. Fixing the planters, getting them out, getting them over to Nancy Mulhern, who we have to thank for taking care of our planters for us. Power washing the sidewalk, getting the flag up on the cell tower. The signage that they're putting up all over the place to make Seabright safe. The move from Borough Hall to the new municipal complex, Sean was in charge of that. This guy has been spot on, and he really has made Seabright a different place this spring. I feel like Seabright has never been in this position going into Memorial Day, and it really is because of Sean. And like Kevin said, Don Klein, these guys are really, really working hard, and they care. And it shows. And the other thing I really think we all need to realize is what our mayor's doing. I think we all get it, but I think we need to say it. Mayor Brian Kelly has been amazing. We all have our lives that we have to live, businesses, family, our situations. But when you step into the big seat that he stepped into and couple of months into it, you have this COVID-19 happen, March 16th, how it shut everything down. He has done a fabulous job, and I think we all just want to say thank you, Brian. Really, you've done a great job.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Jack. No, it is. It's easy. It really is a pretty easy one. The team we have really is outstanding. Like the governing body, but Mike, Joe, Chris, Michelle, but Roger. But also in town, it's very easy to work on a team with the police, fire department, OEM, public works, the borough administration. Like it's just it just makes it very easy because everyone works together pretty well. But thanks, appreciate that.
I second that.
When council's done, Mayor, when council's done, I have just a couple comments. When you're
sure.
Completely
sounds good, Joe. Anyone else on the governing body?
This is John. I just want to second what Charlie said, and I think we're pretty lucky to have Don and his crew. They seem pretty organized. I guess we're going to find out how well it goes this weekend, because it's going to be nice, I think, on Sunday, Monday. And as far as finance, I know you guys know I'm always looking at expenses. it looks to me, I think Joe's going to check it a little further, but it looks like on our credit card, we can save probably about $3,000 a year switching to M&T. And I got some guys getting quotes on all the electric bills to try to put them all together. We have 41 accounts for electric and gas. That's it. We're working on it.
Thanks, John. Anyone else?
Excuse me. I just had one thing. So our next meeting is June 16th. And just so everyone's aware, that is the 129th anniversary of the Great Seabright Fire, which happened on that day in 1891, which completely decimated our town. We're dealing with COVID
thanks for
now.
Asking, Mark.
Yeah, I know. So, but my point is, we survived that in 1891. We survived Sandy in 2012. And we're sure as hell going to get through COVID. And we're all doing, everyone's doing what they need to do. Brian, I echo everything that everyone else has said. I think you've been doing an incredible job. I think the whole team has. And we'll get through all this. And we'll be stronger because of it.
Yeah, I think so. Thanks, Mark. I agree with you. Anyone else? Joe, do you want to get away?
I have a couple quick things. We do have an executive session, but I have a couple quick things. Councilman Rooney and Councilman Keeler have asked if we could go back to meeting together other than these virtual meetings. We probably can have social distancing and masks if necessary at the June 11th workshop. I don't know what the balance council feels about that, but we probably could sit together at the workshop if you choose to. Chris and I just need a little direction on that.
Okay, two questions for you, Joe, if you don't mind. One is, if we do hold, I guess the public is still excluded because we're going to have to space out pretty far. Is that how it would work? The public would still have to call in, I mean?
I believe that's how it would work, yes, sir.
And if some of us agree to it, if anyone wants to opt out, can someone from the governing body call in if they'd rather do that?
Mike, you guys are doing that now, I believe. Can you help me a little bit how it works in Neptune? You have to unmute.
Hey,
you could do it that way, but you could have people opt in or opt out.
Yeah, that's true. Like what Roger just said, you know, we have two or three of the council members come into the meeting, but we live stream the meeting, so you still meet the Division of Local Government Services regulations for a virtual meeting. So you still have to have the open line and or some ability for the public to comment.
Correct.
So is there a general...
Yeah, in my opinion, I agree with Jack and Charlie. I would very much like to get back into the same room. I think it's more conducive to having a real meeting. You know, I've watched the freeholders are doing it that way, where they're doing social distancing and they're holding their meetings in person. I just think it's better. The only thing I would ask is if we can set this up so that the public can actually see us, I would prefer that personally. I know we don't have a lot of public calling in and watching, but it would be nice if that option was available for them to actually see us.
So if we shoot for June 11th for a meeting at the pavilion and we can set it up appropriately, I think, Councilman, we could figure it out to get the public to see you, see us, see all of us there. Okay, that was one.
Well, as Roger said, we would have to do that because we have to have an open line for the public, and the public can't sit in the room with us. So,
yeah, but Kevin, they can't see us now. Is my point?
No, they could if they log into the meeting the way that we do it now.
Yeah, but we don't give them that. I don't think we have. They don't have that access. All they have is the access to the cell phone number.
So, yeah, all we have is access to the phone.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought they had a Zoom meeting.
We'll try to get that ready for the June 11th meeting. The second item I have is
That's the workshop meeting.
At Anchorage Park. Councilman Catalano and I and Frank have been talking over the last couple days. There was a price increase on the black PVC fencing. As you know, we have the aluminum black fencing along the bulkhead. We have a grant for all of this. The county open space grant is providing funding, and we have unfortunately received a price increase since these plants have closed down. It would still fit in our budget, but I think Councilman Catalano could explain it a little better than I can. Either option would fit in within our grant application, but there are some differences. Councilman?
Sure. I checked with both of my wholesale suppliers that I buy a lot of fence from, and the numbers came back at $7,600 and $7,800. So it was a little bit more than what we were expecting, but being that it's the spring and after COVID, they did a price increase. I still think for the quality that we're getting, like over a 25-30 year warranty on the fence, it would still look really nice in that park and match the other fence. We would have another option of wood if that would be, if a price is an issue, it would be significantly cheaper, but I think my opinion would be go with the black.
The black would you know, fit in better than the wood. It would last forever, I think. And, you know, we're going to apply for an open space grant again this year. So it's really up to council. I mean, the wood would be a lot cheaper, you know, maybe a couple thousand as opposed to 7,000. But the black PVC is what we've been waiting for. It's up to you folks.
I'd like to just comment. I did speak to Councilman Catalano about the fence. And one thing I have to say, like living on Ocean Avenue for so many years, that things do take a beating. This is a state highway. You have salt there. You have rough winters. The fence that Councilman Catalano is talking about us getting has a lifetime warranty. So, you know, you could buy a less expensive fence and have to replace it two or three times. And it just doesn't make sense. And plus the one that Sam has picked out, I think will look the nicest. So I don't think there's any other way to go myself. In the long run, and we're benefiting by getting the better fence.
I agree with Sam, and Sam's our expert on fences over here. And I agree with Charlie.
Is that black aluminum?
And Mike, it's under the grant amount.
That's great.
Mike, yeah, that makes
my fun with PVC.
Is that aluminum?
It would be PVC, vinyl.
Oh, a black PVC? Okay.
The aluminum is along the bulkhead, Councilman, and the balance would be PVC, a lower 3 feet, Councilman?
Yeah, 3 feet. It would be two rail, like a ranch style.
But it would be black, which you don't see that often. It would match the other ornamental aluminum along the bulkhead.
That's correct.
Jack, if your house was made out of PVC, you wouldn't have to paint it.
Oh, yeah, I got you on that one.
Right. And vinyl is forever.
And Mayor, the last item I have is... the beach this weekend, we're ready, we're geared up. You know that. You've been on top of this the whole time. We don't want a heavy-handed police presence on the beach, but there's a fine line. Councilman Rooney and I have been speaking about, you know, police on the beach. We just want council to know that we're going to try to have an even-handed approach, more education than enforcement. But I think that we, and maybe you folks want to chime in, we ought to have a presence on the beach to make sure everyone knows we're enforcing the governor's recommendations.
Something that was that I think something that we could do, we could bring this up with the chief. Is chief on here, or is he here? No. Okay. I was thinking about literally just making a lane, roping it off right down the center of the beach. It would go from Chapel Beach Club all the way down to Donovan's, however wide it needed to be, 10 feet wide. That would be the lane that we would have our police officer on the beach vehicle maybe every half hour, just go up and down there. We could talk to the chief about the specials that he has coming on this summer to write summonses and that type of thing, and ask him to take one of them. We'll write less summonses maybe, but we will have someone on that beach every half hour going up and down the center of the beach so they would have a view of both sides. You know, because that would be the one thing that might be difficult. If you had a beach vehicle and no designated area to drive it, what are you going to be doing? Zigzagging in and out of everybody? But if you just have a designated area right down the middle of the beach, that's where they can go every half hour and just keep reprimanding people, you know, if they need to be. I don't see there being a real big problem, but a police presence means a lot. It shows, and it's going to make people that really want to be safe feel safer, you know, and the ones that don't care as much, they're going to have to care or they're going to get thrown off the beach.
Yes, well, I will say this much. If last Friday has any bearing on what we're up against this summer, I have a feeling we're in for a rude awakening, because I was down there, took a quick walk, and was down by Tradewinds Lane, and I saw a group of about 40, 20-year-olds all together, taking up maybe about 100 yards of beach, probably about 20 yards of beach, and there was probably about 40 of them in a pack, so, and they were right on top of each other. So you're going to be, I have a feeling you're going to get, it's going to be worse than you think it's going to. And with the beaches and with the New York beaches supposed to be closed, as far as I hear, de Blasio is not opening the beaches, so unless that's changed since a week ago.
No. He said no today.
Charlie's idea about building the just to keep a presence on the beach, it would just be a deterrent that would work.
We're going to get swamped, and I have a feeling it's going to be a lot worse than you think it's going to be.
All right, so Kevin, we'll have the police there, which should deal with that concern, and that's what we're going to have to do, because I think we're going to be under a lot of scrutiny, not just Seabright, but all the shore towns are going to be under a lot of scrutiny, and the governor has a trigger finger, and I don't think he's scared to close the beaches. So I think we need to do exactly what Charlie just said and what Sam's saying, and make sure the police are there, and everyone, I think, is better off as a result.
What are you going to use to mark off the lane? What rope or what, Charlie?
Well, I would suggest, rope or cones or, I would talk to Don about it to see what his feelings were if we sort of decided tonight that we would agree to do something like that or try to do it.
They do that down at Donovan's, to let the beach vehicles pass through Donovan's. They have that break point with the rope. It's marked out by rope so that the vehicles can drive through the Donovan's property. So it's just the same thing. So we just can stay. I would suggest doing, just extending what they have in front of Donovan's and rolling it all the way back as far as we can. It's not a bad idea, but...
Well, I think the issues that we have to be aware of, if everything goes like it seems like it's going to go, we're going to have more traffic than we've ever had, because if Sandy Hook only opens 50%, you're still going to have the same amount of people coming down here, but they're only going to take 50% of those people into Sandy Hook. So they're going to come past my house into town, and we're restricting our parking a little bit. I'm not sure if it's quite 50%, because we do have a lot of beach. We have enough room on our beach, but you keep restricting the parking, which gives the people in the cars less places to go. So I think police presence
throughout the beach is important. We just need to keep the people moving through the town somehow. You know, there's only a certain amount of parking spaces in Seabright.
Maybe my recommendation would be for you to authorize me to tell the chief what we want and let him come up with a plan to put it in motion. Him and Don to put it in motion. Rather, Councilman Birchall, I know we do that through Donovan's, but I will relay this information to Chief Friedman and tell him what your desire is and tell him to come up with a plan to put it in motion.
Sounds good.
That sounds really good, Joe.
I think that the beach checkers and lifeguards and everything should not be confrontation, but they should make sure people are aware to keep the social distance. And they ask them, have to ask them more than once, then you have to get an authority involved. But I don't think that you want the cops roaming the beaches telling people. I think that the beach employees should be able to tell them once, and if there's a problem, then you get the cops involved.
I already spoke to
John. The cops usually do patrol the beaches anyway. I think we'd just be upgrading the number of times that they go back and forth. That's all. Because they're already going up and down the beach probably every half hour or so.
Can the public ask a question on this point?
Sure.
Hello?
No, it's not time for public comment.
Okay. It's Walt O'Neill from the link, by the way.
What do you say, Mayor? Okay.
All right, anyone else have any comments? Roger said it's not a public comment period, so I'm not going to override our attorney. All right, Roger?
I'll make a motion. If no one else has said anything on it, I'll make a motion to open it. Walter's been pretty good, and if he has a question, I think we should let him ask it. So I'll make a motion to open it to him.
I'll second that.
I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. New public comment.
Thank you, Mayor. My question was just one simple one. Is the parking lot, will Seabright be restricting to 50%? Do you have to follow that guideline from the governor?
No, we don't have to follow it. We're just voluntarily cutting back on parking, not 50%. I would estimate somewhere around 15 to 20% of our parking is being restricted for this coming weekend. And then we'll play by ear, you know, kind of like echoing what Kevin said. You know, as much as we prepare, we're hoping for the best, but, you know, we're going to continue the same practice that we've done all along. We're going to just be careful. We're going to monitor everything very carefully. And if everything goes smoothly, then so be it. You know, maybe the next weekend we can open up more parking, or if we can't control the situation and people are too close to each other, and it looks like it's if our police or beach employees say that it's an issue, then we could always restrict parking further. But right now we just have about, I'd say close to about 20% restricted.
Do you know offhand how many people usually on a weekend day go to the Seabright beaches?
Charlie, you might know that number, right?
We have approximately 600, you know, parking spaces. I don't know the exact number, but the thing that's unique about Seabright, and it is very unique, is that we have more beach than we have parking. So when our parking lot is full, maxed out, and I've witnessed this many times, our beach is not even half full. Where most towns have more parking than they have beach, so they have a problem. When they fill their lot, their beach is, you know, overcrowded. We our beach is very big. I don't know if that answers your question exactly, but
Charlie, you still have people coming. You still have people coming in by bike and by taxi and Uber and whatever else they're doing. They're still coming in by that realm. So I mean, that number is, you know, although manageable, it's not an accurate number as far as the number of vehicles and the number of people per vehicle, I guess.
Yeah, I can say that I've witnessed the beach many weekends in July and August, and I have seen that our town is at
whatever Kevin just said, with Ubers, bicycles, however they're getting here, we still have a lot of sand to put people on. So it's just going to be our big issue is going to be getting people from their cars to the beach safely, getting them past the kiosks, past our beach office, you know, socially distanced. But once we get them to the sand, we have the parking lot set up so that what is going to be available is going to be dispersed from the north side of the parking lot to the south end, so that they go into the entrances that will put them on the beach spread out. That's the plan. So they'll go into that north entrance down by Chapel Beach Club. They'll go into an entrance that's by the beach pavilion, and there's one on the other side, and there's another one that's a little bit south of that, and then you have the entrance that's behind the old Borough Hall. That will disperse the people throughout the beach. So we have a pretty good plan. We just have to let's get the curtain up and let the show begin.
You got a test run this weekend.
Yeah, let's do it. We're ready.
Anyone else have any comments since it's open right now? All right, Mark, you want to close it?
I'll make a motion to close the public portion.
I'll second that, Kevin.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, and just to, close out, we've already discussed it. We all have the same concerns, moving into Memorial Day weekend, even though COVID is on the downswing, anything can happen now. So we're still going to be very cautious, and we're going to be hopeful, but cautious, and just be safe moving. And thanks to everyone for getting us to the point we are today.
Before you stop, just one thing, Joe. I'm not sure if you received today the agreement from the county to participate in the COVID stimulus funding program. That's going to move rather rapidly, and I don't think we really want to wait until a late June meeting to agree to participate, since their first funding tranche should be available in June or July. So I think we should just give us authorization to execute that agreement with the county.
Yeah, Mike, I think that was on our, wasn't that on our plan today? On the agenda today?
The consent agenda.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Was it Joe? I didn't see it.
I'm looking at 118.
No, that was just support of legislation for coronavirus bonds, relief bonds. That has nothing to do with what Mike's talking about.
It's different. We would need authorization to participate in Monmouth County's stimulus CARES Act funding program.
I'm making a motion on that.
Roger.
All right, Jack. We could do that. We ought to just do that by
voting. Why don't we add that to that emergency meeting for the bike thing?
I think we probably ought to do it tonight.
Yeah, hopefully
it runs out of money.
Before
so we do it as fast as we could.
Okay. I didn't know we could do it tonight.
Jack made the motion, and would anyone like to second that?
I'll second it.
All right, Mark seconds it. All right, bear with me here. Roll call. Council members Birdsall?
Yes.
Catalano?
Yes.
Keeler?
Yes.
Lexine?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Schwartz?
May the Schwartz be with you. Yes.
All right, there you go. All right, so thanks, Mike. Thanks for the heads up on that. That was good timing. I appreciate that. And, all right, so next up, we're just going to go into executive session. Joe said we do have something on the agenda for executive session, and then if anyone is left on the call, we're not going to come back out. I basically just close the public portion of the meeting. So we're going to we'll be done with the meeting once the executive session is over. So with that being said, would anyone like to make the motion to go into executive session?
Mark Lexstein, I'll make that motion.
Kevin Burt, I'll second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.